Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Forest Podcast. I am Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And we are your daily tech design and development direwolves. I don't know. Hey, I've been reading Game of Thrones or whatever, so.
Yeah, and I'm on Storm of Swords. His titles aren't that great.
What's the name of the series? Fire
Game
and Ice?
Of
no, it's. Oh, I thought.
The entire series is A Song of Ice and Fire.
Ice and Fire, okay. Yeah.
Because ice is the Starks,
right.
The Wall, and then fire is the Daenerys, the dragon chick.
Okay. I keep waiting for the monsters to show up or something. Like, where's the dragons? Where's the blue-eyed people?
This
is bullshit.
There's some dragons by the end of the book that you're on.
Woohoo!
And then they become, you know, more and more as the books go on. As far as, like, the...
I'm like, this isn't fantasy yet. There's no true wizards.
As far as the zombies
What?
Go,
all
they're
those
basically
are zombies,
right? Okay. The frozen things.
Yeah.
They don't really do much.
Damn it.
I mean, it's kind of disappointing. Like,
I feel
like
the wall
point,
is useless.
No, the wall is useful. The wildlings, like, there's some cool shit with the wildlings in the third book. But, like, it seems like the dead. The problem with zombies is they're not really a good threat. Ever.
So they're like the way zombies are supposed to be.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like all these books and movies that have zombies in them, right? Zombies are not a good threat. Because
no.
They're slow.
What they're there for is to constantly annoy you and throw you off your game when you're trying to do
basically,
other things.
Yeah. Like, okay, did you watch Walking Dead?
Yes.
Or have you read? You watched it? Okay. So the zombies in Walking Dead, like, it's not really a threat. Like, they're not the point of the story, which is good, but, you know.
The point of story is the downfall afterwards.
It's the downfall afterwards, the struggle to survive this whole, you know,
thing.
Struggle against nature, right?
I think that's supposed to be coming back pretty soon, too. We need to just do a
it
fucking
is, yeah.
show about TV shows that we watch.
Well, it wouldn't be very many. I mean, we watch Doctor Who, we watch Game of Thrones, and we watch The Walking Dead.
Eureka. I watch Eureka.
But that's being canceled.
Hey, it's still got a half a season plus a season.
All right.
Whatever. We're going to actually start the show this time.
Let's do it.
Fucking
so,
jQuery.
First link of the day is terminal.jcubic.pl. So that's what, Poland?
Sure.
You can't trust the Poland.
I'm not getting into this. I've been reading too many Nazi books.
Because they come out with shit like jQuery Terminal. So jQuery Terminal is a plugin for creating command line interpreters in your application.
Why do I need to do this? Except for, like, if I'm doing a Learn jQuery site.
Well, it'll call JSON RPC services. So you can set up, like Wise, famous Try Ruby.
Right.
So basically, you'd use this, and it would make a JSON RPC call back to your backend, which would execute whatever somebody typed in, and then send back the...
But you know what? If you're going to be doing a Wise type of Learn Ruby thing, you would better be able to do this your damn self. It just seems weird that this is, like, open for everybody to use to make their own, like,
just makes
learn
it a little
jQuery.
Faster and easier. Just makes it a little faster and easier. That's all it is.
Faster.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Harder, stronger.
Kind of neat. Yeah. It's all the Daft Punk songs rolled into one.
Technologic.
All right.
I like the next one. I thought it was going to, like...
The HTTP post tool?
Yeah, but it just makes the request. I thought it was going to, like, return to me, like, a PHP
yeah.
string to make the request myself or something.
No. It just makes the request and just kind of tests to see, you know, stuff is working.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all it does.
Well, you know, curl's not that hard.
Curl's not that hard, but some people don't know how to use it.
Some people are on Windows and don't have an actual...
They don't
terminal.
Have a real command line,
yeah.
right? So they have something like this, HTTP post tool. There's not a whole lot to say about it. It does what it does, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's still nice to test. Or no, you know what it's good for? It's good for when you have to send it to a buddy to test out your service on another machine, and they know
right.
fuck
you
all.
You don't want to tell them how to do all of
right.
and all this shit. You're just like, dude, just open this, type this in,
right? And just tell me that it works from your server.
Yeah,
tell me it works
yeah.
from Comcast.
So this next one. This next one, this is a two-parter.
I didn't understand this at first, because I was like...
It's like a Doctor Who season finale.
This is not
thing.
Something for me to use.
No, this is Angel Nest. Angel Nest is a... what?
It's supposed to be like AngelList, which is Forrest designed, for setting up people with angel
Ruby.
Investors.
Right.
But they're
right.
supposed
it's
to be setting
like
up
that.
For China.
Right. So the guy who built this, Fred Wu, He spent a couple hundred hours building this, which is a long time. A
couple hundred, man.
That's what he says. 200+. But he says developing, so maybe he means all the back end, all the RESTful interface, all his thinking.
He means the time in the shower where he was thinking out models.
Right, because he was thinking, like, AngelList. Is there a better name for AngelList? Is there a better name?
AngelNest.
Maybe Angel Castle? I'm just sitting here bumping myself. That's what it is. So anyway, and apparently the system sucks. But it's all open source now. You can go download the whole damn thing. Woo-hoo. Because he didn't get paid.
No payment whatsoever. And then he has a long, sad story about how stupid he is.
He has a long, sad story about the fact that he did all his work for free, and now it's all available on GitHub.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think this is kind of neat, and it's a cool idea. If you've got a client that doesn't pay you, just open source what you built for them. And then it doesn't matter, right?
I don't know.
You've contributed something.
I feel like there could be a foot coming for his ass anytime.
Well, it would depend on the terms of the contract and all that stuff. But if the source code is being released as a truly free license, right, like MIT or GPL or something like that, then there's nothing to stop his client from still using it or from him selling it to his client.
Except apparently they don't have any money.
Right. Assuming they get money and they come back to him and go, we want the site to actually be done, right?
Right.
Then there's nothing to stop him from just, okay, fine.
So he's got a long write-up about how he was, like, not a technical co-founder, but first employee type of thing, and et cetera, et cetera. And how could you have agreed to work with him without any contracts, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, like, sad, sad puppy story.
Yeah, it's a pretty good example of how not to work.
Yep.
But it's, I don't know. I like the fact that he went and released the whole thing as open source. I think that's kind
of
cool.
That's the moral of the story, just open source it.
Yeah, pretty much. Just fuck them and just make it all open.
Fuck right off, yeah.
Yep. Boston, Bostonovation.
Bostonovation.
That's actually kind of a cool name.
It is.
What's new in Boston?
But yet, this is one of those sites that once again makes me feel like it's going to teach me about SEO or something.
It looks like TechCrunch to me. Like TechCrunch used to.
Before they went 8-bit.
Yeah, but like the bar, the home around the hub, that bar, that looks just fucking like old TechCrunch.
Old school TechCrunch, back in the day. Y'all don't know about it.
Like a year ago. So anyway, this is GitHub's 50 most popular projects. It's kind of neat seeing what's the most popular on GitHub.
I am very surprised that Rails beats out jQuery.
I actually am too. That's a little bit surprising. And I'm surprised that Node is as high as it is.
Yeah, what the fuck? Who are these?
And why is Diaspora in the top six?
I don't think it should be going by watchers. I want it to go by downloads.
It should go by downloads or forks?
Because I don't watch shit.
Really?
Like,
I watch things, but I use watching as like a bookmarking kind of thing.
Right, right.
It doesn't mean I'm like using it or that I'm ever even going to. I just think this is kind of cool, so I kind of want to see.
And I also
figure
that whenever there's a big enough update for something like jQuery or Rails, like, I'm going to fucking hear about it from 37 people.
Yeah. It's kind of funny seeing some of the other ones that are in here. Like, PHP SDK is one of the higher ones.
Backbone's in there.
Redis actually is pretty low. I'm surprised that Redis is 30th. Because Redis is fucking awesome. I mean, you know, surprised. Oh, my ZSH is number 32. That's kind of cool.
I love how this is a random can in here, and the person who wrote it's like, I don't know, according to the README, can some authorization library for Ruby on Rails. Who would have fucking thought?
Well, you can. Django is number 39.
Woo,
which that actually kind of makes sense, because Django is actually officially hosted on Subversions, which wouldn't put it on GitHub.
This is
an unofficial clone. Or it's an official clone, but it's not.
2011, and we're officially hosted on Subversion.
I know. No, I don't. Nobody uses the Subversion anyway.
It's like, dude, you don't have to be GitHub, but you just can't be Subversion. Like, use Mirasol or whatever.
Most people get their Django installations from PyPy, so it doesn't really from the cheese shop. So it really doesn't matter. But I don't know.
Silly. Spree's 50. That's awesome. Spree is a pretty cool Ruby e-commerce thing that's easy to skin and set up. I've used it a few times. It saves tons of time if I haven't used some shit like Magento or something.
it's nice to see that jQuery PJAX is in there. Because PJAX is pretty cool if you haven't played with PJAX yet.
I think we've talked about PJAX.
Yeah, it's like partial AJAX. So basically it does like an AJAX request, but then that returns HTML. And so it just replaces this chunk of HTML, but it modifies the URL as well.
Right.
So that you've got back and forth functionality, but not whole page refreshes.
Super fast.
Once you like get it set up and you kind of come to terms with how it works, it works a little bit differently than just your normal AJAX stuff. It's pretty cool. It's pretty handy.
What the fuck is this next story, Kevlar? I don't know what this is.
This is kind of neat. So, do you know what a ventlet is?
No, this looks like we're defragging my hard drive.
Yes, kind of. Okay, so a ventlet is, I think it's Python only. I don't remember, though. But anyway, it's like asynchronous programming, right? Tornado, Twisted, all that kind of stuff. But a ventlet is a Python implementation. So this guy wrote some Python code and was noticing, like, some blocking. Like, there's all this concurrent stuff going on, but sometimes it's hard to tell, like, where, like, tracing things through, finding where the actual problem is, right? So what this little thing does, he's got a little eventlet visualizer. It shows you when and where your different little blocks of code are running so that you can kind of see, like, where a problem is.
Where's the – where I need a key to see what all the colors are. What is it? I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe when you hover over it or something, it tells you.
No, it's just a picture.
Each block can be clicked on, and information is output in the console, such as stack trace and arguments.
Oh, if function. I actually install it and run it on my own shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but this is a cool idea. It's a neat way of finding where the problem is in your asynchronous code, because it's very hard to track this went to here, and then to here, and then to here, and then over here. And the, I mean, it's a fucking maze, right? This is why some people that, you know,
I
they
love
do
mazes.
People try to do Node, and then they just go, huh?
People try to do Node, and then they don't do Node.
Yeah. Well, I was playing with Twisted a couple weekends ago, and it's a really weird way of thinking compared to how I'm used to thinking with, like, Django stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to this whole concurrent thing is
waiting, really waiting, waiting.
Way strange, yeah. All right, so next one.
What is this? Oh, improving HTML5 canvas performance. Right? Correct?
Yes. Sorry, somebody IM'd me. HTML5 rocks. This is improving HTML5 canvas performance. A whole lot of stuff about how to improve HTML5 canvas performance.
Oh, there's a little bunny rabbit that's all blurry.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff down here. So there's, like, you can render off screen and then move stuff on screen, which we've talked about that before.
Yep.
Batching your calls together. Avoiding state changes, unnecessary state changes, render only the screen differences, not an entirely new state. Just fuck, there's like
not using Canvas.
Not using Canvas. Yeah. I was doing some Canvas stuff a few weekends ago. It's for that whole gaming thing that I keep bringing up and
that you keep wanting to do, right?
Right. So looking at Canvas things. Canvas stuff, it's kind of cool, but man.
What's the site? It's a pretty detailed site, especially with the next story coming up.
Well, yeah, HTML5 Rocks is really cool. HTML5 Rocks is basically like people who really fucking know their shit about HTML5. So Bruce Lawson, Remy Sharp, Paul Irish, these kinds of people.
And writing, Michelle Bachman.
No. writing really long, good, hardcore articles.
These
about,
are so
like,
long they could be posted to Smashing
the
Magazine.
They could be posted to Smashing Magazine, but Smashing's not that smart. So this next one.
Too much text, not enough pictures for Smashing.
This is from Tally Garcil, who is the main author, and then Paul Irish is the editor of it. And this is how browsers work.
I bet this is what he was doing when he refused to come on our show.
He probably was. Bastard. But no, so this is actually like really cool, because there is an amazing amount of crap that your browser goes through from when it gets the HTML from the server, when it gets the HTTP request, period, from the server, or right. response from the server, to when it actually draws something on your screen.
I'm
and
scrolling
it's doing
through this.
Like, it's doing this in, you know, microseconds.
It's long
is pretty
as
impressive.
Fuck.
It's very long. There's a lot of shit going on.
Wait, what is that?
I always think it's funny. Have you ever gone to, like, a developer interview, like, applying for a development job?
Yeah, BotBot once.
Okay. Did they ask you, like, can you describe what happens with an HTTP request?
No.
Like, how does that work? I've gotten that like three times.
They're
now,
Rails and... developers. They don't care.
See, I've gotten it for Jenko stuff though, and I'm always like I give a brief overview of how it works and how I understand it, and I guess I don't give a good enough answer because
you're like, everybody, of course, Jimmy the snake wizard gets the packet from James, takes it down to the corner where, you know, Boodiggy is waiting. They exchange the secret handshake. Then that transmits. The packets get split up. Sometimes they get lost along the way. And the payment must be made in Wampa.
At least one of them.
The self-sealing envelope will not seal. The mailman will be shot.
Yes. But no, if you're like, if you're really interested in how the hell your browser builds stuff, which the thing is, like, the more you understand about how a browser works, right, the more that you can, the more you can tweak and optimize for your JavaScript, your Canvas, your whatever.
I think the more you understand about it, the crazier you get. I don't know.
Well, that is probably what happened to Paul Irish.
I think your hair just starts falling out. You get the shakes. You don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
knowledge. It's destructive.
Yep.
Your brain's
like
meant
this,
to be
like
empty.
Next one. This next one's kind of destructive, too.
The Golden Grid System?
The Golden Grid System!
Woo!
Holy
another
fuck.
Grid
it's
system!
Folding, but this is a folding grid for responsive
what
design.
Is it, what is
actually,
a folding
this is actually,
grid?
Like, this is kind of a cool idea. So you've got 16 columns, right?
I got 16 columns.
You got 18 columns.
I got 18 columns. And the bitch ain't one.
The two on the outside are just for outer margins of the grid. So you really have 16 columns for use, right? Now, whenever this thing wraps, instead of just dropping them below each other or whatever, it actually starts to combine grid items because it's a folding grid.
Okay. So it's like folding at home, right? We're going to solve the problems of the human genome.
No.
Oh.
This does nothing, sadly.
Protein folding.
This doesn't do any... No protein folding.
Damn.
But no, so the 16 columns, if you're on a tablet-sized screen, the 16 columns will be folded into 8 columns. If you're on like a mobile phone, like an iPhone or whatever, it'll be folded down into 4 columns. So it can go from 240 pixels all the way up to 2,560 pixels.
What's important is that they suggest using gridline or baseline. I don't think enough people who are using grids are using the baseline. Which
no,
I actually
not.
Think is more important than, you know, using a grid system. A grid system is pretty easy to set up on yourself if you're just doing the math in your head. You know, it might not be perfect. It might take longer. But the setting up a baseline, it's a pain in the ass.
Yes, it is.
Was this the same one? I saw something where it was a resizing from a list and it was going into a selection box. Is this
no? That's something different.
Oh, okay.
This is just a grid, but it has a nice zoomable baseline grid. So, cool thing is, you know, you've got your little baseline stuff.
I love at the bottom. Fluid design is hard, really hard. Don't give up. No, fuck it. I don't care.
Well, but they mentioned fluid grids and responsive web design by Ethan Marcotte. Or Marcotte, however the fuck you say it.
Marcotte.
And those are both really good.
I got tripped up on a name on the episode I did with Rigel on Saturday of Okay, That's Cool that made me look like an idiot because I didn't explain why I was confused. The dude had his name up there. It was Zodiac, a.k.a., and then some other name. And I was like, so I don't know what this guy's name is. And I was like, because Zodiac is obviously not his name, but you can't otherwise known as his real name. It makes no fucking sense. So I was just confused, and Rigel's just like, dude, it's Zodiac. And I was like, okay, whatever. Yes.
So let's move on.
No.
Next item.
No, I want to stay here. I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't. Dev tools are stupid.
The next item is dev tools. This is in the newest Firefox release, Firefox 6. This is actually kind
of
cool.
This is one of the one add-ons that I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah. There's this new thing that's called Scratchpad. Instead of like the web console or Firebug, where you can put in like one line at a time, Scratchpad, you can actually write like a whole document and then tell it to run either the whole document or just what you have selected.
Right.
So, and it runs it against like your current page, I guess. I'm assuming it's always against the current page. I don't know for certain. So anyway, it's a cool idea. It's kind of neat. It's a good way to try out like some JavaScript or whatever on a certain page.
It's a good way to see if you can use JavaScript to fuck with anybody's sites.
Right. And you probably can.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's like a really hard grease monkey.
Yes.
Maybe.
That's not as easy to share around.
Oh, here it is, responsive menu.
Matt Kersley has released responsive menu, which turns any old OL or UL into a select for mobile and smaller browser sizes.
Yeah, you resize. So you've got your
UL or your OL that holds your menu. Maybe it's inside a nav element like it should be. And this will take it and turn that, using a little bit of jQuery, into a select box menu for mobile phones or people with tiny browsers.
Or tiny faces.
So you don't have to do as much work, which is the important part of everything.
Or maybe they should get bigger faces.
They should get bigger faces.
Fuckers.
They should get big old faces like the face of Bo.
Who is, I won't say it.
What do you think? Oh, hey, have you been...
Captain of something.
Did you ever watch Torchwood?
No, I never did.
Oh, I started watching the new season of that. It's been
It's still going? Good. Still
new stuff? They just wrapped it up this week. This week was the 8th and last episode of this season.
Eight episodes a season?
Well, okay, so...
That's crazy.
Torchwood did the first couple of seasons, and they were, like, 10 episodes or whatever. They were, like, British episodes, right?
Right.
Or British seasons, where they're always short, compared to U.S. seasons.
I started watching a show called Peep Show, and it's six-episode seasons. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the way IT Crowd was, and the Catherine Tate Show and stuff like that. Anyway, so, and the first two seasons sucked, to put it mildly. they just really weren't that great. But then they did a series, it was like a mini-series called Children of Earth, and it was 5 episodes long, and it was, like, really damn good. It's probably the best thing that Torchwood has ever done. So that was last season. So this season is called Miracle Day, and it's 8 episodes long, and they just wrapped it up. I've only watched the first episode, but it's been pretty good.
So it's more like each season is a mini-series.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a mini-series. It's definitely not like little throwaway jaunts or whatever, like the first two seasons
like
were.
Buffy
were just,
would
like,
be.
And shit. Okay. Yeah. It's actually like, you know, there's a beginning, middle, and end. So yeah, it's pretty good so far. You should check it out.
But if it's only 6 episodes, then how do they have like the special Valentine's Day episode and the special Christmas episode?
They don't.
This is outrageous. I'm not for it. What's
You know, think? I stopped watching Buffy. I got to, like, the middle of, like, season 5 or something, and I was just like, this thing fucking sucks.
Buffy's awesome.
And then...
Season 7 is fucking horrible, though. The last season is so stupid.
I'm on the one where she just came back from hell. That season.
Okay.
Like, she died and they brought her back.
Yeah, she got killed by the blonde chick.
Yeah, just fucking sucks. Like, it's more emo than...
Hey, man, it was, like, 2000.
But I tried,
it was right when...
I tried watching a couple more episodes of it like a week or so ago. I just couldn't even stand it. It was so bad. I turned it off and turned on Ice Road Truckers. That's how bad
it is. The problem with the end of Buffy is it ends, you know, a proper sci-fi or fantasy show or film or something, right? You're constantly moving towards the solution. And the solution has to be something that they could have only gotten after they've done these past things. But
it has to be a real solid solution.
Right. And the end of Buffy is so bullshit because it's just somebody, they're just sitting there like, hey, we could just do this. Ah, problem solved. It's like, I kind of want to tell you what it is because I don't think you're going
to
finish it.
I'm going to get to it eventually.
It's so, like, I seriously was so upset. Like, especially because they come up with the final solution in, like, the last episode. Like, the final solution is supposed to be like, all right, we finally gotten the secret weapon. We quested for 13 days for it.
What you're telling me is that the end of Buffy is the end of Aliens and they just nuke it from orbit.
No, it's worse than that. I mean, come on. Aliens was awesome.
At least,
leave me alone.
Aliens was awesome. Alien and Aliens, absolutely awesome. Aliens 3, meh. Everything after that? Complete and utter shit.
14 days? We ain't gonna last 14 hours. Stole that shit, Hudson.
The first two, amazing movies.
I love, what is it? Hey, Vasquez, you ever been mistaken for a man? No, have you? Such a fantastic film.
Etherpad Light.
Is there a heavy one?
We should do a podcast where we just talk about movies and TV shows. well, yes, there is. There's Etherpad. I don't know how many people remember Etherpad. Etherpad was a collaborative text editor.
Oh, no, not one of those.
It was kind of like, what was the name of that one for Mac that was actually, like, a really good text editor? Anyway, so basically it was that, like, you could work with, like, a couple of people at the same time, right? All everybody editing code together.
That sounds terrifying.
So Etherpad Lite is a Node.js hosted version of Etherpad, so you can collaborate with whoever the hell you want.
You know how people edit a whole bunch of code at the same time? GitHub.
Yeah. It provides an HTTP API, so your web application can manage pads, users, groups, whatever. There's a PHP client. There's all sorts of stuff. There's jQuery plugins, stuff like that. So if you want to do Etherpad, maybe with your buddies or at your work or with whatever.
People you hate.
All the people you hate. All the people who don't write code nearly as well as you do. Then this is the way to do it.
You could do like teaching courses with it.
You could.
Tell them how they think that method should work, and you can watch them, and then slap their fingers with a ruler.
Yes. Just smack them in the back of.
I never went to a Catholic school, but I feel like I wouldn't have gotten along quite well with the nuns.
Yeah, I don't think that would have worked out.
Do Catholic schools still mean like there's a nun and shit? I think that just means like it's a Catholic school that's owned by.
No, I think most of them are still like nun and priest led. But I think most of the other religious schools, like, you know, you'll see like a Christian high school or whatever. I think a lot of those
are just charter schools.
Yeah, they're like owned by a church
where we read the Bible ahead of time, but that's it.
Yeah, those kind of freak me out. like the Catholic schools. I don't agree with religious schools, period. But like the Catholic schools, at least it's like this. You know what the fuck you're getting into, right?
Right.
But then like the Christian high schools, rotary, you're always like, well,
jokes.
It has to be a high school, so it can't be too crazy. But
guess what?
Yeah, just, I don't know, those kind of freaks.
Run, mammals will save you.
Kelly Sutton's Tumblr.
I don't know who Kelly Sutton is, but there's a party going on.
There is. Party, 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 party. It's like New York.
Yes. 15 News.
Only it's party. So
that was the best episode. I love that episode with the traffic jam.
That was a different one.
Oh. But it was still at New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, the danger of plus equals in JavaScript.
What's wrong with plus equals?
Makes
it really easy to throw that motherfucker in a loop.
There's some problems with plus equals, apparently. No, I agree. I think plus equals is kind of handy. The problem that's being brought up, though, is the fact of doing plus equals on stuff where I guess it's like you don't always know what's coming in here or whatever.
Doing plus equals on a grab bag.
Yeah. So, you know, you may be concatenating things you don't know and stuff like that.
Plus equals A? I don't understand.
So what Kelly recommends, though, is instead of doing the plus equals, is doing this like jQuery thing where like you'd grab the value and you would append the input and the wrapper kind of together and you would return the wrapper. It adds more lines of code. It makes it a little bit slower, which is kind of bad, but it makes it more readable. And if you're like sending it to somebody else that doesn't know what the hell they're doing, they're going to have an easier time reading through this. And then since jQuery tends to fail harder and faster than just plain, you know, DOM manipulating JavaScript, you're probably going to see a problem faster.
Why are people named Kelly always making suggestions? Like, oh, I think your car should cost this much just because my book is blue.
I think every person who's named Kelly needs to have some sort of sex symbol on their page so we know if it's a boy or a girl.
That's true.
Same for anybody else that has one of those, like, multi-sex names.
What's another one? Lisa.
Another one? Lisa? Lisa's not really... Lisa's pretty much just girls.
Sam. Sam's one of those. Because it could be Sam, Samantha.
Right. Sam, Kelly. There's others out there that I can't think of off the
Bruce.
Top of my head. No, I don't believe Bruce is one. I don't believe Bruce is one. All right, last item for the day.
Oh, it's such a short episode. I'm so happy. We're fast. We didn't have Rigel around.
This one is speak.js from Mozilla's hacking department.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, they hack the Gibson and they come up with speech.js. That's the best they can do. But no, speak.js is kind of cool. It's a port of eSpeak, which is an open source speech synthesizer from C++ to JavaScript. So basically, you can use this and make your website speak whatever the fuck you want. through JavaScript.
Please don't. You know the one place this is handy is in, like, Wikipedia for pronunciation.
Yeah, I would love to have this for pronunciation. I think it would be really cool if you had, you've got an iPad, you've used iBooks and stuff like that.
I got a touchpad, sir. Well, it's on its way.
And you can do this on, like, a lot of web browsers and stuff, too. Like, highlight a word, you can hit define, right?
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could do highlight a word and hit, you know, pronounce.
It looks like somebody took this...
I mean, you basically can on a Mac, and like Safari ties into it really well, but... Having that everywhere would be kind of cool.
Third link from the bottom. Looks like somebody took this and had it do, what's his nuts? Rickroll. Never going to give you
a Rickroll.
I'm about to play it. That sounds awful.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to run around and desert you.
Yes, that played terribly.
Yes, it did. So... That's it.
That's
done.
All of it. That's all the show for today.
That's the whole fucking show.
That
man.
Was a 28-minute show.
We should be doing, man. This should be on every single show.
That I didn't even dread. If every show was like this, I wouldn't dread 3 p.m. on a weekday.
See, this is why I keep telling you we gotta get rid of Rigel.
It'd be like 1 p.m. and people be like, "Dude, why are you drinking?" And I'm like, "I gotta go do a show in an hour and a half. This is bullshit."
Look what we can do. In 30 minutes when That's Rigel's right. not around.
Actually, one thing I'm going to say, I'm going to have some shameless self-promotion for the end of this episode because I am very confident that I will have PishPosh.tv up. Guys, we got two new shows. One is Jumpstart with me interviewing one Kickstarter project every week. The first one we did was on Friday, and it is with Steven DeDonato, and he did a fantastic poster series on the eight planets, and he's also a Forest member. That was awesome. Go check that out.
Those were very nice illustrations.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Like, he spent like 3 weeks talking to a printer, a print shop, you know, getting all the details and seeing whether or not they could handle it and like doing test prints and all that type of stuff. Like, he's very dedicated to doing the prints the right way. So that's one mm-hmm. thing that was cool. And then we also did another show, which was with me and Rigel, called Okay, That's Cool. And it is all the things on the internet once a week that are the type of things where you read it, you're not quite sure what it is, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, that's pretty fucking cool. We covered stuff like there's a new Lego set, which is 1,300 pieces, which is a Volkswagen bus from like the 70s. We covered bionic arms. We covered...
Don't talk about Lego. Last week, my son for his birthday got the Scorpion Pyramid from the Pharaoh's Quest sets, and it's like right at 1,000 pieces.
I think. I'm pretty sure that the ones that at 1,000 are over are 16 and up, sir.
That was back in April, and so then we packed up, we moved, pieces got scattered all over the place as that set went. So on like Sunday last week, he's like, "I want to build the Scorpion Pyramid again."
Okay. and you personally know that you're missing like 27 pieces.
No, I found every. I think I was missing one piece. I think it was one piece I couldn't find, and I had to substitute in a piece.
Damn.
Everything else, I found every fucking piece.
You gotta call up Lego, man.
Because I am goddamn awesome. Like that.
So no, it's a cool show. Hopefully, we might have a secret co-host who will be doing it on a regular basis. Depends on what she thinks of the show. But that is all at pishposh.tv, along with the Forest Podcast and a schedule for recording times. Anyway.
And then you and I are doing some sort of fanboy show about TV and movies.
Apparently we are, yes. I think you'd be cool if you get like Netflix to sponsor it or something like that.
Okay.
Okay. No, fine. I mean, fuck you, Netflix.
No,
we don't want your money.
If you can get them to do it, I don't... That doesn't seem like something they would do.
No, see, what the thing is, we got to limit everything to things that are available on Netflix for streaming.
Well, then we can't talk about, like, Game of Thrones and the new episodes of Doctor Who.
All right, we'll limit it to Audible and Netflix.
I was talking about the Game of Thrones TV show.
Yeah, but I haven't watched the TV show yet.
It's good. I some of the casting I'm a little iffy on, but...
Is it...
Like, they don't...
Who's
right,
playing Tyrion? The only person I can think of is that midget who's in every fucking midget show.
It's the black hair. Yeah, it's the dude from Elf, the South Pole Elf.
I don't know.
He's an angry elf. You've seen Elf, right? Like the absolute best Christmas movie ever made.
That is not the absolute best Christmas movie ever made.
Oh, it's so the absolute best. Christmas
The best Christmas movie ever made is Go. In Las Vegas. Go. That movie was fantastic. Just because it's about a rave and strippers in Las Vegas does not make it not about Christmas, because they are at a Christmas rave.
No. That is not the best Christmas movie ever made.
But is it the midget? What else? He was in that movie Chris Rock just remade.
Yeah.
That British
movie. Why the fuck did Chris Rock remake that movie?
I don't know. It was awful. The first one was great, though. But it's that guy. That doesn't seem like Tyrion, because Tyrion's supposed to have, like, fucked up eyes and, like, a bow leg and shit.
No, he does a good job. I mean, he doesn't look perfectly the part, but, like, the kid that's playing Robb Stark is, like, 18, and Rob's supposed to be, like, 14.
Right. Oh, I also saw that they made...
All the kids are way too old.
Yeah, they made Brandon, he's 10 instead of 8 or something like that.
He's supposed to be 7.
7.
6 or 7.
Well, because I guess just got like, to the part where it's just his birthday.
All the kids are, like, 3 to 4 years too old.
I see.
Daenerys, the blonde hair.
Well, because they didn't want to have a 13-year-old getting.
Well, she's supposed to be 13, and she's like 17 in the movie.
Well, that's acceptable.
Which is just like, well, it's acceptable, but it's wrong.
Whatever.
Like, I understand why they did it. They're not gonna have a 13-year-old naked on HBO. I agree.
But they will have a 17-year-old.
Well, she's probably like 20, really.
Right.
I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying.
You guys thought we were going to have a separate show about these movies and stuff, but no, it's actually part of the Forest Podcast.
This is going to be the end of the Forest Podcast. No, okay. So Forest Podcast, where can you find us? On Twitter, we're Forest Podcast. Our website is forestpodcast.com, and our email is podcast@forest.com, just to keep you on your toes.
Uh-oh.
You should rate and review us on iTunes, because that's where the money's at.
And pretty soon, when you go to forestpodcast.com, it will redirect you to pishbosh.tv/forestpodcast.
That's what you think.
That's what I hope. I'm going to fuck everything up. Hey, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Tuesday. Ta-ta.
We're gone. Later.